Welcome back to Up to Speed, a Verizon podcast. For today's episode, we're sharing a conversation between Verizon's newly appointed CEO, Hans Vestberg, and actor, social activist, and founder and CEO of the Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative, Forrest Whitaker. In this conversation, Hans and Forrest discuss the work the organization has pursued since it was founded in 2012, and the role technology can play in supporting its efforts to foster peace and reconciliation in disadvantaged and fragile communities around the world. Let's listen in.
So, hello everyone. I'm here with Forrest Whitaker. This is Hans Vestberg. For me, this is a very special moment to have Forrest here. And for many that knows or have read about Forrest, he's a fantastic actor. He has Oscar. He has a lot of other things. I have another history with Forrest. We met for some 7-8 years ago when I was working with Technology for Good, seeing how technology have a positive impact on our society. And then I met Forrest, and he had a lot of the same mission and vision about what technology can do. And you had already by then started your social activism. So I would like to start talking about how did you start? I mean, coming from your background, a great actor and all of that, then with your social activism, and what was the starting point and what have you done since then?
I mean, I think I have to go back to when I was a youth and think into why I wanted to deal with conflict and conflict resolution and peace building. Because as a kid, I was privy to these felt the aura of like the Rots riots where I came from. I was raised in South Central Los Angeles. And at the same time, I was also around the Panthers that were growing there and then when they were blown up around my corner. And that was really impactful to me as a kid, you know, and the birth of the gangs. And I knew that there was something I wanted to do that had to do with conflict resolution. I just didn't understand exactly because of the different understandings that I had gotten as a kid. And I had this opportunity when I went over to Uganda to start looking or working with some child soldiers there. And that sort of sparked a new interest for me. And I started working with them, building their dorms. And ultimately, it moves from there to working with the UN to finally starting my own NGO that we've been working on, that you've been working with me on for like a number of years now.
So when you came there to Uganda, you saw these very young child soldiers having a very hard life. And your idea was, how can you support them to come to a much more normal life and not being in that very difficult place? That was your thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I started to talk to some of the youths there. And some of the stories that they were telling me really shaped my desire to like be able to be of service or to work with them. I think there was this young girl I met in an IDP camp there, because they were all displaced because of the Lord's Resistance Army at the time. And she was telling me, you know, they tell me that I'm stupid. And she said, maybe I am, because I never learned how to do the things that other people do. I never even learned how to greet people. And she said, they tell me that I'm crazy. She said, maybe I am, because I do things sometimes, I react sometimes, and I don't even know why. I don't understand why. And this girl was in the middle of like hundreds and hundreds of IDP tents, and the people around her hated her because she had been a soldier in that war. She had been a child soldier, and she was like alone, feeling lost. And it really affected me, you know. And the next thing I knew, that the UN had asked me if I would come in and talk to them about some of my experiences. And so I taped her and taped some others and brought their voices to the UN. It was actually from there that they had asked me to start working with them. That's the first time I started working with the UN, first as an ambassador, a goodwill ambassador, and then as a special envoy for peace and reconciliation.
And when you start working with that and you start communicating, you also start thinking about how can you help them to get out from that difficult situation. So you started that education was important for you. What other things do you think were important for get these child soldiers to a normal life? What was the basic things you saw that was needed?
I mean, I think there was something that was might seem like an intangible, but it was like a sense of identity. It was when I met these child soldiers that when I looked in their eyes, that I could see the same look that I'd seen in the gang members that I knew back home, you know? It was the same look. And I understood like a certain sense of needing to belong, a certain sense of feeling lost, a certain sense of disenfranchisement that they would have. And so now I needed to figure out what would be a system, a sort of way, a methodology that would be able to allow them to regain the sense of self, even empower themselves, have knowledge to be able to help their communities, and then ultimately be able to be self-sustaining and prosperous. And so I created this four tenets for the program, which was conflict resolution education, which was ICT or computer technologies, which I was working with you and your team to equip them and to train them. And life skills, which were trauma skills, which is very important, dealing with past histories and pains. And then social entrepreneurship and business. And putting those things together, it would create an individual that would be able to go out into the community and be able to activate any number of different things, whether it be peace building or whether it be building businesses for their communities. And so that's what we started to do.
And that's when you also then started your foundation, the Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative, in order to get a greater scale of this work that you have been starting. And right now you are in several different places with the WPDI initiative. So where have you been focusing so far?
Well, we were in Uganda first, in South Sudan, Mexico, and of course now working with Verizon, we were in Los Angeles, California, in the United States, and we're about to move into South Africa, which we just received the funding for South Africa. So those are the places that we're working in right now.
And when you have seen quite a lot of these youth coming through your training and with these four pillars, how is the success rate? I mean, these children coming out and or youth that has been trained in these four important pillars, what do you see when they have been there for a while?
I mean, there's been so much success. I mean, look, we have members that we've trained that have become like the heads of the youth union, become members of parliament. I think the youths that we've trained in South Sudan, in Eastern Equatoria State, were hired by the government to train the ministers and also act as the mediators for the state. They've like started, about 12 different businesses, three quarters of which are very, financially profitable, which is very exciting.
It's amazing. That's amazing outcome.
Yeah. So we built community learning centers. And these community learning centers, the community themselves have been coming in, and we've been able to see through our external training of like business education that we're getting people who've got ICTs are now 50% of them are employed, are beginning their jobs. 70-some-odd% of them have like advanced their employment or their educational system. So it's been really the numbers that we just got a lot of some of the data even coming back to us have been pretty startling. I've been really impressed with the businesses that they've started. Because not only did they start businesses, like take for instance in Uganda, they start a business where it's an electrical store and then they start to scale out the electrical store. But they also start to train other youths because of the way they've been trained. So they train hundreds of people. Beauty shop, Sissy, she has a beauty shop. She trains like 200 other girls to become beauticians while she's running her businesses, while she's moving forward. In Mexico, it's much more socially driven. They like have business, initiatives where they're going into prisons and they're training people in prisons to be able to deal with conflict and stuff, things of that nature. And now we'll see how it affects the growth in Los Angeles and what's going to be happening. Because we have a very unique program because it goes with the core curriculum of the schools. And in that core curriculum, we infuse it with like conflict resolution education. And I don't believe there's any other system that's done that really, where it's integrated. So we're going to see what happens with this full school approach, how it might trickle into the high school, how it might change over the years the way people matriculate and move forward.
That's amazing. One of the things that I, over the years, I've been involved together with you. I've been involved in with the UN, Millennium Development Goals, Sustainable Development Goals, and I have done it for one big reason. I think that technology has such a big impact and can be such a catalyst to actually bring some of these major challenges on Earth actually to a better place. And I think that you and I early on had a lot of conversation how important technology would be for these youth to actually get another type of education and understanding what's happening in the world. So what your view on the ICT training and how important that is for these children, these youth, to come to a much better place?
I mean, it's an unbelievably empowering tool. I mean, I think we're fortunate that you like signed on in the beginning and that Elaine and your team came out to be able to train them in conflict resolution in, through the computers. But to be able to actually utilize it to amplify their voices, to be able to connect in a different way, to be able to use it as a early warning systems, which they've done. I mean, the practical story that I try to say is like, when the war broke out in South Sudan, we had worked with you training them in ICT skills. And when the war broke out, they were scattered. All the youths were scattered. But then they started helping each other to safety using these devices that they had learned how to use, some of which they had never even touched the keyboard on before.
Incredible.
And so that, like, was really a powerful. I knew it was something I needed to do because I wanted them to be able to connect, but to see it applied on the ground in this way was unbelievable. And it's worked like that in every one of our systems. I think at some point you have to see, be able to give yourself even some credit as to what actually occurred, because you'll see someone who's never, doesn't know where the on button is on a computer, by the end, like doing presentations with his laptop, you know, to the entire community, going into places and doing projections and fixing other people's equipment. So it's really
it's great to hear.
Quite unusual. Yeah.
So one of the things that are both our strategy and the Verizon Foundation is very focused on is education, and we have been committed to education for a long time, and we have done even larger commitments right now to education to communities all around the U.S. And one of the work streams is together with the Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative. So how do you see our collaboration in that sense when it comes to especially around California and Los Angeles and education?
It's been enabling. And I mean, we've started this program together, and it's centered purely around the core curriculum in the school system, but able to be able to find a way to let them understand how to deal with conflicts in their lives and stuff. And Verizon has opened up the door for us to be able to expand and to scale and to move that forward. And all of our programs are centered around education, and we're educating them in different modalities and stuff. In Los Angeles, it's an unusual program because it's all middle schoolers, so it's our youngest program, because we're trying to, with you, educate them to be able to deal with the stressors of the day and also to be able to amplify their voices for tomorrow.
And then we are also, of course, very, very excited over that collaboration. And I said, as a company, we sometimes underestimate what we can do and how we can serve them. And our technology is going out to every household and every place around the country. And of course, we have a great opportunity with our technology actually to combat some of the challenges, inequalities that we have in this country. And I think we both are proud of what we're doing. And not only that, I mean, this is our strategy. We are number one on technology and network. So for us, it's a very good fit, and we're extremely honored that we can collaborate with you and see that we can have even reach more youth and getting out the message that you're giving. Another thing that we also have been working together with, and I know you're extremely engaged in, is that I was part and at least worked with the Sustainable Development Goals that was approved 2015, and I always pride myself that I tried to get 18 goals, not 17, and 18 would be ICT, information communication technology. We all know that I failed because it's only 17. But anyhow,
I think that it's so integrated into every system that it's like considered more like the heartblood of something.
Yeah, it's sort of the enabler for the 17, and that's when I get a little bit mature, I understood that that was probably even better than having an 18th goal. But one thing that you are an advocate for the Sustainable Development Goals together with 16 others, I guess it's you are 17 of you that are nominated by the UN General Secretary to talk about this all around the world. So really, what are you doing as an advocate for the SDGs all around the world? What has been your experience so far? Because this is impacting the whole world. I mean, the whole world, 193 countries signed up for these 17 goals. Basically unheard of, so many countries doing the same thing at the same time. What's your view, Evan?
I do advocacy, I speak about it in places all over the world. Not just about just pointing up the 17 goals, but the target goals as well, the framework to convince people to look at these goals as a framework for them to be able to figure out how they can operate with their own companies and with their own lives to be able to help us move forward these agendas that are like hopefully will rechange our planet and bring us more into a stable and sustainable world, when it comes to like application, when I looked at my foundation of the NGO, we are operating with about 11 of the goals, operating in a sustainable way, whether it be gender equality, where we have partnerships with UN Women, where we hire, we make sure that we have like inequality there, whether it be dealing with the infrastructure by building computer learning centers across all of these, but we've been able to touch upon the majority of the goals. So I'm able to do it as an advocate, I'm able to do it practically, and I'm able to do it as a citizen personally in my own life to recognize that it's all the little things that we do that are going to like change the structure of our future.
And I'm going to ask you a question which I think I know the answer to, or I would have an answer, but I think it's important to ask you. So these sustainable development goals can be a little bit distant for a corporation, a private company. So how do you see a company like Verizon being part of impacting that we succeed with these sustainable development goals?
Well, I mean, that's a much stronger question for you, but I think
I asked you,
No, I do think that when you say lofty, it's like the Sustainable Development Goals. Even the name itself has an alienation effect. When you say global goals, it comes a little closer to you. When we're basically just talking about poverty, eradicating poverty, hunger, giving people jobs, gender equality, climate change. So it would be great at an organization that has so many tentacles to be able to start to educate the public. I think the public needs to be educated as to what they can do actually too. It's supposed to be a ground up movement. Like the MDGs were, they were from the top down. This is supposed to be from the bottom up, but it's not really bottom up because the people themselves don't know, they don't embrace it. The corporates are doing so, but I think if you guys could let people know that you want to deal with climate change, then don't do this, it operates differently. Like in this country, shower once every few days, do this, turn off your lights, do this and that. That's easy for climate change when you're talking about education, talking about volunteering your time to go to schools to help, whatever. People need to have small goals that they can utilize so that they can actually effectuate a change. And then there'll be a movement. And once the groundswell is a movement, then the upper is going to move even stronger. I think it'll even motivate corporate even more to like be even more involved than they are when they see the people being so strongly involved. Kids, I wish I could. I've argued with this about this name. The name of the. I shouldn't be saying that anyway.
No, it's fine. And I think that you're articulating something that I've been talking internally. I talked to Rose that is heading up our foundation, that many things that we do as a strategy supporting the Sustainable Development Goal, our technology we're rolling out, the way we're dealing internally, or thinking about diversity and all of that are flooding into that, our way of dealing with the power consumption of our equipment and all of that. It's maybe sometimes you don't see the direct connection with the sustainable development goals and what we're doing daily, but I think our work as management and all the employees of the company is to really understand that we are part of supporting this, and we are a huge corporation, and it's nothing that is outside the company. It's actually part of our strategy that we do every day, and we should be very proud of that. We have a chance to impact that, and so I think that you and I are, we have worked together. When you're coming from your foundation, I've been in the private sector, and I think that we always find that we have different but very important roles to play. We play our strategy, you play your strategy. It's nothing outside what we think is what we should do as a corporation or an NGO in your case. I think that has been my learning from it, and I, I, I'm very humbled to work with Verizon, which have this drive, and I see more and more of it coming. So I think that we as employees of the company should feel that this is something important, but it's definitely part of our core strategy. I mean, this is what we do every day. I mean, we build this infrastructure. We see that it's working all around the company. So let us round up a little bit there. And one thing that, I mean, now you have been having your foundation for some 6 years or something like that. So how do you see the future of the foundation? How do you continue to develop that? You are now, as you mentioned in the beginning, in several different countries. You have more youth coming through your learning and learning centers. So where do you see this continuing? Do you see geographic expansion, or what do you see?
I do see that we'll be expanding and scaling outward. We continue to do so. The programs are working, and so others are coming to us, and the reputation has been such that now we're used as a model by the UN, even in the refugee camps, as someone who's implemented. So I think we'll hopefully scale out the school program that we have in the United States, because I think it's very important. I think that will be a great goal. Working with you and with others to make that happen would be great. And I think we'll continue to create at least one other country a year as we move forward, probably two. But at least one, yeah.
So I would like to end here by thanking you, Forrest, for both working together with us, but not only that, for the fantastic dedication you have to work with peace and reconciliation for youth, which is you have taken on. And I have seen you close by working with this, and I know your passion for it. I'm passionate for technology and what technology can do. And that combination, I have to say, is it's exciting to see how we can actually combat some of the bigger challenges on this earth today. I mean,
I think someone like yourself, like the CEO of a major company like this, has so much impact just by your example and your model. People follow from your company, and like things are, your decisions are being made like with that in mind of like the better good. Even with profitability, there still is better good that can occur. Yeah. And I think that's so commendable. I mean, not just you have the heart to be able to do that, and by your heart you can expand others, and I think it can't be underestimated.
Right.
You know, what you may be doing here at this company can change the world just by making the example of caring and making sure you're involved with creating a sustainable and positive future for the world. So, thank you.
Thank you, Forrest. And for all the listeners, I hope that you also have learned to know Forrest from the other side, which I learned to know him as the social activist person with a lot of engagement to actually solving the larger problems that we have on this planet. Many of you know him as a fantastic actor. We didn't talk about that today, but you can see his movies, and he is just a great guy. But I think we at Verizon are very honored to have you here and working together with you, and that you shared your passion and how you work with it. So thank you very much, Forrest.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative, you can visit www.wpdi.org. And for more Verizon news, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @VZUpToSpeed, or like us on Facebook at @VerizonUpToSpeed. And stay tuned for more conversations about technology today.